I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Well, now that the National Hockey League season is done, we're going to prepare for the NHL draft, the expansion draft, free agency. All of that is coming. And so one of the features that I'm going through right now is draft reviews for each franchise. We go through their drafts since 2005, and you can generally tell where things started to go wrong for teams based on their success in the draft. Now, it's not always, but in many cases, that's how it turns out. So today, we've got the Chicago Blackhawks, Colorado Avalanche, Columbus Blue Jackets, and Dallas Stars to go through, take a look at their recent draft history. And let's start with Chicago Blackhawks. 2005, they had the 7th overall pick. They took Jack Skilly. Now, Skilly didn't have much of an NHL career. The next four picks after him, Devin Setoguchi, Brian Lee, Luc Bourdon, and Andre Kopitar. Well, I mean, Kopitar, I know he was the 11th overall pick, but I don't think anyone had any idea that he would become Andre Kopitar. But nevertheless, it is a bit of a miss getting Jack Skilly at 7. In the second round, the Blackhawks drafted Michael Blunden, who did play some in the National Hockey League. And in the fourth round, though, they got Nicklas Chalmerson, who was a mainstay on Stanley Cup winning teams for them, and has had a nice long career as a shutdown defenseman. 2006, the third overall pick used on Jonathan Toews. Yeah, that one's worked out pretty well. 2007, the first overall pick used on Patrick Kane. Well, there's your foundation for Stanley Cup success. And they had drafted Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook in previous years. So there's sort of the core that Chicago built around to have their Stanley Cup success. And then, you know, the draft picks start to get a little shaky. In 2008, their 11th overall pick, they use on Kyle Beach, looking for a big forward who can provide some toughness. Beach never made it into the National Hockey League. The next four picks were Tyler Myers, Colton Tolbert, Zach Boychuk, and Erik Karlsson. Well, certainly it would be nice to have Erik Karlsson in that spot, even Tyler Myers. But there were also a couple of misses after Beach there, too. So in the sixth round, they picked up forward Ben Smith, who did get into a few hundred games in the National Hockey League. 2009, with the 28th overall pick, the Blackhawks drafted defenseman Dylan Olsen, who did play in the league, but not very much. In the second round, they drafted Brandon Peary. Fourth round, Byron Fraze. So you get a couple of guys there who offered some NHL games, but not huge impact players. Then in the fifth round, they drafted Marcus Kruger, who was a checking center on their Stanley Cup winning team. So there was some value to be had there, even though their first round pick really didn't pan out. 2010, they used the 24th pick on Kevin Hayes. Now, they never saw any action with Kevin Hayes, and he has since played for the Rangers and Jets and Flyers. That's a pretty solid pick at 24 to get a player of his caliber. And then in the second round, where the Blackhawks had multiple picks, they used a couple of them on defenseman Justin Hall and Steven Johns. Now, Johns' career is just recently finished, and I don't think, according to his design, it's been an injury issue and as well as a mental health issue that has sort of forced him out of the game. But Steven Johns, when he reached the National Hockey League, was a legit NHL defenseman. Justin Hall took a little time to develop, but has kind of found his footing as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then in the third round, Chicago drafted forward Joakim Nordstrom, who doesn't score a whole lot, but is a useful fourth-line winger. In 2011, the Blackhawks had two first-round picks. The 18th pick they used to select Mark McNeil. That didn't work out so well. The next four picks after McNeil, Oscar Klefbom, Connor Murphy, Stefan Nazan, and Tyler Biggs. So you had three guys who have stepped into the NHL, and then Biggs didn't pan out either. McNeil is a bit of a miss there for Chicago. But with the 26th pick, they drafted Philippe Deneau, and now they traded him. But Deneau has certainly made his mark as a National Hockey League player since. Also in that year, the second round pick was used on Brandon Saad, third round pick on defenseman Klaus Dahlbeck, and fifth round pick on Andrew Shaw. So getting Saad and Shaw out of that draft, albeit in the second and fifth rounds, that's some pretty nice value overall. In 2012, with the 18th pick, the Blackhawks drafted Teuvo Teravainen, who has turned into a pretty nice scoring forward. Now it's been in Carolina, but nevertheless, that was good value when Chicago drafted him. And then in the sixth round, they picked up Vinny Hinostroza, who's kind of had some ups and downs in his career, but certainly for a sixth-round pick has provided good value. In 2013, Chicago drafted Ryan Hartman with the 30th pick. Now, he's had a solid NHL career to this point, moved around a little bit, but seems to have found a home right now in Minnesota. In the third round, they drafted winger John Hayden. In the fourth round, winger Tyler Motte. I think Motte has found some footing in Vancouver as a checking winger. And Hayden has kind of been bouncing around a little bit as a depth winger. I'm not sure that he has quite the same hold, but I mean, really getting a few hundred games out of third and fourth round picks, that's value. In 2014, the 20th pick, the Blackhawks drafted Nick Schmaltz. Now, Schmaltz has had a solid NHL career, now playing in Arizona. He went ahead of Robbie Fabry and Kasperi Kapanen and Connor Bleakley and Jared McCann and David Pasternak. Those are the next five picks. Obviously, you would prefer Pasternak, but of the other four, Schmaltz kind of compares favorably enough to them. In 2015, the Blackhawks had no first-round pick. Their third-round pick was Dennis Gilbert, who has played a little bit in the National Hockey League. 2016, they had no first-round pick. This is what happens when you're gunning for cups. But their second-round pick was used on Alex DeBrincat, and they've been exposed a bunch of National Hockey League GMs who dismissed DeBrincat because of his size, and then you find out that it doesn't matter. The guy can still score. 2017, Blackhawks used their first-round pick on defenseman Henry Yokiharju, who's toiling in Buffalo, but seems to be a legit NHL defenseman. Second-round pick Ian Mitchell played some for Chicago this year, but I think we're still up in the air on whether he's a long-term NHLer. 2018, the Blackhawks had the 8th overall pick, used it on defenseman Adam Boqvist. The next four picks were Vitaly Kravtsov, Evan Bouchard, Oliver Wahlstrom, and Noah Dobson. And so of that group, a bunch of guys who were young and trying to crack into the league, but it looks like Boqvist compares favorably enough with them. The 27th overall pick was used on defenseman Nicolas Baudin, and he seems fine value relative to others at that spot. And in the fourth round, they drafted Philip Kurashev, who ended up playing for Chicago this season. So some possible value there out of the 2018 draft. In 2019, they used the 3rd overall pick on Kirby Doc, who battled some injuries this year, but does look promising as part of the future. He went ahead of Bowen Byram, Alex Turcotte, and Moritz Seider. That doesn't seem, in retrospect, that doesn't seem out of place. And in 2020, the Blackhawks used the 17th overall pick on Lucas Reichel, who looks like a quality prospect as well. So you go through this list and you can see, you know, how the foundation of Chicago's Stanley Cup teams was built. If you go back far enough, the 2002 second-round pick, Duncan Keith, was in there, and that obviously made a huge difference. And it appears that Keith's time in Chicago is coming to an end, if they can sort out a trade. From the sounds of it, it's to the Edmonton Oilers or nobody at the moment. But you can, you know, trace all those successful draft picks to Chicago having a good run at Stanley Cups. And then as the picks, you know, start to get a little more challenging, you're picking later in the draft, it gets a little bit harder to keep replenishing that talent. And so now Chicago has gone through some lean years. Well, and then with those lean years, you start to get the opportunity to pick guys like Kirby Doc and Adam Boqvist. And you'll hope that they can help turn things around for the Blackhawks. And so when we come back, we will pick up the draft history with the Colorado Avalanche. All right, so continuing with draft histories, we've got the Colorado Avalanche. Start in 2005, they had no first-round pick. But in the second round, they nailed it with Paul Stastny. Productive NHL players, played more than 1,000 games. That's massive value in the second round. Third-round pick was used on TJ Hensick, who played a little bit in the National Hockey League. Seventh-round pick was Kyle Komiski, the defenseman. He played some in the National Hockey League, but really, Stastny is the big prize out of 2005. 2006, he used the 18th pick on winger Chris Stewart, And you know, at the 18th pick, you're into the range where you get hit and miss. And the next picks after Stewart were Mark Matera, Chris Fisher, Bobby Sanguinetti, and Claude Giroux. Well, certainly Claude Giroux would be a better option there, but the next three, those defensemen, none of them panned out in the National Hockey League. So overall, you probably have to be okay with the selection of Chris Stewart. 2007, the Avalanche used the 14th pick on defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk, who has had a long and productive NHL career, and there is no one kind of going in the range after him who was obviously better. In the second round, they grabbed winger TJ Gagliardi, and then got some depth in the fourth round, Brad Malone, fifth round, Paul Carey, guys who have played 100 games in the National Hockey League. So they're starting to build in the right direction, it looks like. 2008, the Avalanche had no first round pick. They drafted a few guys who appeared in NHL games, Cameron Gaunce, Mark Oliver, Jonas Holosh, but none of those guys really had any kind of impact. 2009, though, was a monster. Home run draft. With the third overall pick, they get Matt Duchene. The second round, they get Ryan O'Reilly, who made the team right away. And in the third round, they got Tyson Barrie. And so those are three high-quality players to get at that in one draft. And that kind of set Colorado up. And then in 2010, they used the 17th pick on Joey Hischen. And the thing is, you see Hischen's very limited NHL track record and say, well, he's a bust. The year after he was drafted, Hischen was having a really productive season with Owen Sound in the Ontario Hockey League. Got injured, came back, and then Owen Sound was playing in the Memorial Cup, and Hischen got laid out by Braden McNabb, and basically it was never the same since. He missed an entire season with a concussion, and he battled and tried to get back, but it's kind of lost that Joey Hischen at the time was a really skilled young player who probably had a brighter future than what it turned out to be. The picks who went after him: Austin Watson, Nick Bjugstad, Bo Bennett, Riley Sheahan. So yes, there are guys who have had better NHL careers out of it, but there's not some massive regret about missing on those, I don't think. Second round pick was goaltender Calvin Pickard. And third round pick, depth forward Michael Bornival. So they got some value out of it, but that's a miss ultimately with what happened with Joey Hischen. In 2011, the Avalanche had the second overall pick. They used it on Gabriel Landeskog. I don't think there are any complaints there. He's been a really productive player. He's the team captain right now. Headed for unrestricted free agency. They took him ahead of Jonathan Huberdeau, Adam Larson, Ryan Strome. You maybe want to argue the Jonathan Huberdeau or Landeskog case, but I think, again, there's not a huge argument against Landeskog. However, at the 11th pick, the Avalanche took Duncan Simmons, the defenseman, and that has not fared too well for them. He went one pick ahead of defenseman Ryan Murphy, but then Sven Berchi, Jamie Oleksiak, and JT Miller were the next ones, and so there's some lost value there. 2012, the Avalanche had no first-round pick. Sixth-round pick Joseph Blandisi has played some games in the National Hockey League, but there's not much draft value coming out of 2012. 2013, with the first overall pick, they got Nathan MacKinnon. It took a little bit of time for MacKinnon to become the superstar that he is, but he is now definitely a superstar. Also in the fifth round, they drafted defenseman Will Butcher, who has proven to be a National Hockey League defenseman, albeit in New Jersey, but there's some credit for identifying the talent at that stage in 2013. 2014, this is a big one. The Avalanche picked Connor Bleakley, and now I know the Avalanche, leading up to the draft, really liked David Pastrnak, but then they shifted gears, So the picks after Bleakley were Jared McCann, David Pastrnak, Nikita Sherbak, Nikolai Goldolman, and Josh Hosang. Well, so the opportunity was there either to take Pastrnak or Jared McCann even, and they did not. And things went off the for Connor Bleakley. I mean, his upside wasn't near what it was for Pastrnak to begin with, and then he got hurt playing in the Western Hockey League, and his career just hasn't panned out. 2015, the Avalanche have the 10th overall pick, used on Mikko Rantanen. fantastic value. You're getting a player who's much better than the typical 10th overall pick. 2016, they have the 10th overall pick and use it on Tyson Jost, who has been I wouldn't necessarily even call him a solid player for the Avalanche. He's been a player for the Avalanche, and then kind of this past season seemed to find a nice role as a checking center who could contribute a little bit offensively too. And now maybe that leads him to getting selected in the expansion draft. We will see. But the next picks after Tyson Jost, Logan Brown, Mike McLeod, Jake Bean, Charlie McAvoy were the next four. Certainly Charlie McAvoy would be nice in that spot. 2017, the Avalanche have the fourth overall pick and use it on defenseman Cale Makar, who's a Norris Trophy contender already, and that looks like a massive home run. The second round that year, they use it on defenseman Connor Timmins, who has played in Colorado this year and looks promising. And I think you're going to, if Timmins does become an NHL regular, that you're going to be pretty happy about getting Makar and Timmins in one NHL draft. 2018, the Avalanche have the 16th overall pick used on forward Martin Kaut. And now we're still at a stage here. We're not too far removed from that draft, so I don't think we necessarily know what all those players are going to be in the National Hockey League. The next picks after him were Ty Smith, Liam Foudy, Jay O'Brien, Rasmus Kupari. There's not some massive superstar. I mean, Ty Smith has certainly had a nice rookie season for New Jersey, but I don't know there's a real home run pick that should have been had there. 2019, Colorado had the fourth overall pick used on defenseman Bowen Byram, who looked good in when he was healthy enough to play this season as a rookie. And then the 16th overall pick they used on Alex Newhook, who got into action with the Avalanche late in the season and into the playoffs, and he looks very promising as well. So, while maybe 2018 is a questionable case, it sure looks like the picks from 2019 are very promising for the Avalanche. And then in 2020, they used the 25th pick for Justin Barron, and we're 1 year removed from the draft. I don't want to get too carried away with what value you're getting out of that player. But overall, you can see where things kind of were going right for Colorado, and certainly the 2009 draft, Duchesne, O'Reilly, Berry, that's a really good spot. But it starts to go a little sideways. When you're Duncan Simmons with the 11th overall pick and you get really no value out of that, and Connor Bleakley in 2014, like some of those misses end up really costing them. And not overall, you can still look at this Colorado Avalanche team and they're one of the top teams in the league. But that's also because of the hits, right? Like the getting Mikko Rantanen at 10, Cale Makar at 4, those are elite players that they've picked up through the draft. And you just look at the opportunities that were missed. When the 11th overall pick is used on Duncan Simmons or the 25th pick on Connor Bleakley, and you really got nothing out of those. So Colorado Avalanche, they're certainly not struggling. And when you see the caliber of that team on the ice, but it's interesting to see how a lot of that came out of their draft value. So when we come back, we'll pick things up with Columbus Blue Jackets. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and available this week only from July 6th to 9th, you can get a new Built Bar flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? Well, this is Built Bar's version of a classic Thin Mint cookie. It's all the flavor without all the sugar. So, Built Bar has a bunch of great flavors. Coconut, Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, Strawberry Orange, Cookies and Cream, and German Chocolate. And that's a wide variety. My favorite is Salted Caramel, but really, there should be something for everyone with that variety of flavors. And not only do you have this wide variety of flavors, they're covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste like a great snack, and they're good for you. They are loaded with protein, and then they're low on calories and low sugar and low carbs. And so if you're into a fitness routine, you can make Built Bar part of that routine. I did it when I was going to an outdoor boot camp, made it part of the post-workout routine, give my muscles the protein boost they need, and I think I've had some success with it. So go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now we go to the Columbus Blue Jackets and their draft history, and you know there are some hits and misses along the way. In 2005, is where we're starting with each team, the sixth pick is used on Gilbert Brulé. And, well, Brulé did not have a particularly successful NHL career. Look at the next four picks are Jack Skilly, Devin Setoguchi, Brian Lee, Luc Bourdon, but then obviously Ange Kopitar is the one who goes after that. And so if Columbus had selected Ange Kopitar at six instead of Gilbert Brulé, well, we would have a different conversation, I'm sure, about franchises in Columbus and Los Angeles. Brulé, you know, did not have a hugely successful career, but a lot of the guys coming immediately after him didn't either. Second round pick, though, Columbus grabbed defenseman Adam McQuaid, who had a pretty long career as a third pairing, tough guy. And then in the third round, they drafted Chris Russell, who for all his, analytical shortcomings, has had a pretty long and successful career. In the fourth round, they got enforcer Jared Bull. So there was real value coming out of that 2005 draft for Columbus, even though that missing on the sixth pick might have overshadowed the value that came later. 2006, they had the sixth overall pick again, using on Derek Brassard. And I think should be fairly happy with that. And the next picks were Kyle Pozo, Peter Mueller, James Shepard, Michael Frolik. I mean, some guys who had nice careers, but so too is Derek Brassard. Third round, they got goaltender Steve Mason, who was quite good for them for a little while. And then also in the third round, they got enforcer Tom Sestito, who played a few hundred games in the league. And then in the seventh round, they got Derek Dorsett, a fourth line winger who also fought his way into a National Hockey League career and, you know, and probably exceeded all expectations to do so. 2007, Columbus used their seventh pick on Jakub Voracek. Fantastic player who's had a very productive career. He went ahead of Zach Hamill, Logan Couture, Keaton Ellerbe, and Brandon Sutter. No complaints about that. 2008, they had the sixth overall pick and used it on Nikita Filatov, who was supposed to be a skilled forward coming over from Russia. He did not work out in Columbus. And they took Filatov ahead of Colin Wilson, Michael Bodker, Josh Bailey, and Cody Hodgson. Certainly some guys there who provided more NHL value than Filatov, but not as though there were superstars waiting to be drafted there either. Second round pick was used on defenseman Cody Golubev, who's managed to play a little bit in the National Hockey League. Fifth round pick was used on checking winger Matt Calvert, who has turned in a pretty nice career. Sixth round pick on Cam Atkinson, who has been one of Columbus's top scorers and continues to be. So there was some value found in 2008, but again, they missed out at the top end of their selections. 2009, they had the 21st pick and used it on defenseman John Moore. Now, at that stage of the draft, you're kind of in more questionable territory. The next guys were Jordan Schrader, Tim Erickson, Marcus Johansson, Jordan Caron, Kyle Palmieri. Well, yeah, there are some guys there who are better than John Moore, but also a few that are worse. So, but their fourth round pick was used on defenseman David Savard, who just recently won a cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but had been really nice value for Columbus. 2010, fourth overall pick used on Ryan Johansson, head of Nino Niederreiter, Brett Connolly, Jeff Skinner, Alexander Burmistrov. And Johansson, was obviously part of that one-for-one trade to get Seth Jones into Columbus. But I think when you look at what his career has been, using him, the fourth pick was the right call to take him. And then in the sixth round, they got tough guy defenseman Dalton Prout, who's played a few hundred games in the league. 2011, Columbus had no first-round pick, but in the second round, they grabbed Boone Jenner, who's been a mainstay for them. Fourth round pick used on defenseman Mike Riley, and now Riley didn't sign with Columbus coming out of college, even once he got into the National Hockey League, it's taken him some time. Now in the past couple of years between Montreal and Ottawa and finishing this year with Boston, Riley seems to have kind of found his way to becoming a quality top four defenseman, but it's been a process to get there. Columbus also drafted Lucas Sedlak in the sixth round. Now he's gone back to the KHL after playing some for Columbus, and then seventh round pick was on goaltender Anton Forsberg. So for a year that they didn't have a first round pick, they did all right in 2011. 2012, They used the second overall pick on defenseman Ryan Murray. Now, I don't know that they could have ever imagined how frequently Ryan Murray would run into injury problems. He went ahead of Alex Galchenyuk, Griffin Reinhart, Morgan Riley, and Hampus Lindholm. Well, I mean, I suppose you would like Riley and Lindholm more because they've played, they've been healthier and played more. But when he's been healthy, Ryan Murray's had a decent NHL career. Third-round pick was used on goaltender Jonas Korpisalo, who, for the most part, has been a backup and sometimes been questionable in that role. But he's also had moments where he's been the starter, and that's probably not ideal. Their fourth-round pick was used on Josh Anderson, who had some success with Columbus before getting dealt to Montreal before this season. 2013, Columbus had the 14th pick. They used it on Alexander Wenberg, who played in Florida this year, but had he had peaked in Columbus and then really faded. And he had reached a point where he wasn't even shooting the puck very much. And so strangely enough, he goes to Florida this year and shoots a bunch more, and scores more goals than he gets assists. And it's really unusual. But anyway, so Wenberg with the 14th pick, still not bad. I mean, Ryan Pulock, Nikita Zadorov, Curtis Lazar, Mirko Mueller were the next four picks. Wenberg does kind of fit in that group. The 19th pick was used on Kirby Reichel. Well, that didn't really pan out. Anthony Mantha and Andrei Burakovsky were two of the next four picks there. The 27th pick on Marco Dano, who has been on a shuttle between Winnipeg and Columbus for much of his career. And then the third round, they drafted Oliver Bjorkstrand, who has given them pretty nice value, particularly in the past couple of seasons. 2014, with the 16th pick, Columbus drafted Sonny Milano, and that has not really worked out. The next four picks were Travis Sanheim, Alex Tuch, Tony DeAngelo, and Nick Schmaltz. Even DeAngelo, of those four players, he's provided more value than Milano in the National Hockey League, so any of those four would have been preferable. But in the third round, they also drafted Elvis Merzlikins, who has become a pretty steady NHL goaltender in the past couple of seasons. 2015, the 8th overall pick used on defenseman Zach Werenski. That's a hit. And then in the 6th round, they drafted defenseman Vladislav Gavrikov. 7th round, Marcus Nudivara. And so good draft for defense for Columbus there in 2015. And not only that, they drafted Gabriel Carlson, and then forwards Kevin Stenlin and Keegan Kolesar. Like the 2015 draft, they got some organizational depth out of that. I know all those guys aren't still in Columbus. Nudivara, notably in Florida now. The fact that you got that many guys playing NHL games is, that's a credit to the 2015 draft for Columbus. 2016, they used the 3rd overall pick on Pierre-Luc Dubois, ahead of Jesse Puljujärvi, Olli Juolevi, and Matthew Tkachuk. No one complains about Dubois going ahead of Puljujärvi or Juolevi, but ahead of Matthew Tkachuk is the, I guess, the question. Second round pick was used on defenseman Andrew Peak, who's still trying to kind of crack a spot in that Blue Jackets lineup. 2017, Columbus had no first round pick, used their second round pick on Alexandre Texier, fourth round pick on Emil Bemström. So there's a couple of young guys who have a chance to make a difference with Columbus. 2018, they used the 18th pick on Liam Foudy, who went ahead of Jay O'Brien, Rasmus Kupari, Ryan Merkley, and Keandre Miller. Well, I mean, maybe in hindsight you'd like Keandre Miller, but there are some misses coming after Foudy too. And we don't know, you know, what Liam Foudy is going to be in the National Hockey League. He's had some time in the league and hasn't looked out of place, but he also is still relatively early here in his career. 2019, Columbus had really gone all in, and so they had no picks in the first three rounds, only three picks in the draft. So not much to show from that. And then 2020, with the 21st overall pick, they draft Yegor Chinnikov, a big surprise who shocked everybody on draft day and had commentators scrambling to try and figure out who this guy was. And then you look at Chinnikov, and in 32 games in the KHL this year, he had 10 goals and 7 assists. Well, that's pretty encouraging. And so that one, no one knew much about Chinnikov coming into the draft, I think that got justified relatively quickly by his performance in the KHL this year. So let's continue on. One more before we go, the Dallas Stars. In 2005, the Dallas Stars used the 28th overall pick on Matt Niskanen, who had a terrific NHL career, albeit mostly outside of Dallas. Second-round pick was used on James Neal, And then they got a little bit of value later with a third-round pick for Richard to take Richard Kloon and a fifth-round pick for Tom Wandell. But getting Niskanen and Neal in their first two picks that year is real value. 2006, they drafted defenseman Ivan Vishnevsky. That really didn't work out. Nick Foligno was the next pick in that draft, but then it was Chris Summers and Matthew Corrente, neither of whom really made it to the National Hockey League either. 2007, they had no first-round pick, but got value in the fourth round with Colton Sevier, in the fifth round with Jamie Benn. Well, there's a massive home run in terms of value, getting your franchise player in the fifth round. And then in the sixth round, grabbed enforcer Luke Gazdick, who played some in the National Hockey League. Now the real value there, obviously, is a fifth-round pick on Jamie Benn, who apparently his skating wasn't up to snuff in the Western Hockey League, but in a strange case, you go through all kinds of drafts back in that era where guys who were too big but couldn't play would get drafted early, and then a guy who maybe couldn't skate, like Jamie Benn's, the scouting reports were not great about his skating back then, but he was still a very productive player in the Western Hockey League, so he had found some coping mechanisms to deal with it, you can see how NHL teams might want to evaluate this a little bit differently. Is that if a guy can't skate and there's really no hope of salvaging it, well, then that's one thing. But if you see a guy whose skating isn't very good, but you might be able to get him to a point where he's a passable skater, an acceptable skater, well, then you have to keep in mind that they're achieving what they are in their junior league or wherever, despite not having that one great skill. Like there might be guys who are tearing up junior because they skate so much better than everyone else, but it leads to them not necessarily having, say, problem-solving skills that will work in the National Hockey League, because unless you're going to be the best skater in the National Hockey League who can just skate your way around everyone, you have to be able to kind of negotiate situations and find your way around problems. And if you aren't a great skater, you're forced into that earlier, I think. So this doesn't mean don't take guys who are great skaters. It means maybe don't write off guys just because their skating isn't up to par yet when they're 17 years old. 2008, Stars had no first-round pick. Used the fifth-round pick on defenseman Philip Larson, who saw some NHL action, but not much impact there. 2009, with the eighth overall pick, they took forward Scott Glennie, who did not make the National Hockey League. Now, the next five is kind of a mishmash of players. There's Jared Cowan, Magnus Pajärvi, Ryan Ellis, Calvin DeHaan, and Zach Cassian. Well, certainly you would love to have Ryan Ellis in that spot, and even DeHaan and Cassian or Pajärvi have relatively more value there than Scott Glennie, but the Stars did get value. In the second round, they grabbed Alex Chiasson. The third round, they grabbed Riley Smith. And then late rounds, they got Thomas Vinsor, who played 95 games, and Curtis McKenzie, who played 99 games. So they did find some value in that 2009 draft. That just so happens it came after missing out with the eighth overall pick. 2010, they used the 11th pick on Jack Campbell, who has ultimately looks like he's providing NHL value, but this is long after the fact, and the Stars aren't the ones who have really benefited from it. The second round, they drafted Patrick Nemeth, who's had a nice career as a stay-at-home defenseman. And then in the fifth round, they drafted John Klingberg, who's been a terrific top-pairing defenseman for the Stars for quite a while. And so there's a lot of value in that 2010 draft, although Campbell, it took him a long time to start offering value in the NHL. 2011, 14th overall pick was used on Jamie Oleksiak, another guy who took some time. In fact, it probably took him leaving Dallas and then coming back before he kind of found his way. At the time, Oleksiak at 14 goes ahead of JT Miller, Joel Armia, Nathan Beaulieu, and Mark McNeil. Maybe you'd like JT Miller ahead of Oleksiak, but otherwise, he's still pretty good value there. Second round pick was used on Brett Ritchie, who's kind of bounced around a bit, but is a depth forward in the NHL. And then the seventh round, defenseman Jyrki Jokipäkä, who did play some in the National Hockey League. In 2012, the Stars had the 13th pick and used it on Radek Faksa, Now, the 2012 draft had some real value coming after that. At 14 was Zemgus Girgensons, and 15 was Cody Ceci, but 16 was Tom Wilson, 17 was Thomas Hertl, 18 was Teuvo Teravainen, and 19 was Andre Vasilevsky. So Fax has been a good player, solid player for Dallas, maybe not as valuable as some of those others who went a little bit later in that first round. In the second round, they got Devin Shore. In the third round, Esa Lindell, who's been a mainstay defenseman now for Dallas. And in the fourth round, Gemmell Smith, who's a depth forward. But, you know, there's certainly some value being accrued here by the Stars. 2013, with the 10th overall pick, they get Valeri Nichushkin, who has turned into an elite checking winger. I'm sure that wasn't part of the expectation in 2013, but you know, after a trip back to the KHL for a few years and now back in the National Hockey League, that's he seems to have established himself in that role. The 29th overall pick was used on Jason Dickinson, second round pick on Remy Ely, and a fourth round pick on Nick Paul. Now, Nick Paul has given the Ottawa Senators some value as a checking forward. Dickinson has been a real Swiss Army knife of a player for the Stars, playing wing and center and moving up and down the lineup. And now is, you know, potentially a candidate to be lost in expansion to Seattle. 2014, the Dallas Stars drafted Julius Honka with the 14th overall pick, and that hurts them a bit because the next ones were Dylan Larkin, Sonny Milano, Travis Sanheim, Alex Tuck are the next four picks there. Honka, you know, got into the NHL and has sort of a small sample of games, and his analytics, the numbers look half decent for Honka, but it was also the eye test would be a little bit scary, and generally the coaches win out on the eye test if they decide not to play a guy, then that's what happens. And so Julius Honka, you know, got shoveled to the sidelines, and as you might expect, didn't develop very much, and so that one ends up being a miss. 2015, though, great value for the Stars. The 12th pick is used on Denis Gurianov, who's become a useful scoring winger for the Stars. And in the second round, they drafted Roope Hintz, who is now a real centerpiece of the team right now, who played this past season injured and still scored a point a game. 2016, they used the 25th pick on Riley Tuft, prospect who played college hockey, didn't score a ton there, so I have my doubts about whether he's going to have an impact in the National Hockey League. Later in that draft, they added Rhett Gardner and Nicholas Camano, who look like kind of depth forwards. 2017 was a huge draft for the Stars and could have really long-lasting impacts. Third overall pick, Miro Heiskanen, a guy who, if he ends up you know, kind of reaching his peak, he's going to be challenging for Norris trophies. We saw the way he played in the bubble last season, that's where the ceiling is for Miro Heiskanen. 26th pick on goaltender Jake Oettinger, who is going to be, he may be the number one goalie as soon as this coming season for the Stars, but certainly in the near future, that he should be a number one goaltender in the NHL. And then the 39th pick was used on Jason Robertson, who was runner-up for Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year, and just came into this season with not huge expectations, and then kind of blew everybody away with his skill in creating scoring chances, working down low in the offensive zone. And so that getting those three players in the 2017 draft is just outstanding from the Dallas Stars. 2018, they used the 13th pick on Ty Dellandrea, who did play for Dallas this year, didn't have huge production. The next four picks were, that year were Joel Farabee, Grigory Denisenko, Martin Kaut, and Ty Smith. You know, you might prefer Farabee in that spot, maybe even Ty Smith. But again, when we start talking about the 2018, 19, and 20 drafts, we're still very early in terms of being able to pass real judgment on where a player's career is going to be. 2019, Stars used the 18th pick on Thomas Harley, who does look like a very promising defense prospect and probably going to be part of the Stars lineup next season. In 2020, they used the 30th pick on Maverick Bork, who has been a productive junior scorer, and we'll see kind of where that goes. But at this point, we're not ready to say that's hit or miss for the Dallas Stars. So there you go. We've covered off four more teams on their draft history, and this will continue as we head towards this year's National Hockey League entry draft. Anyway, that will do it for this week. check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. You can check out both podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Devin Booker lifts the Suns to a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals over the Bucks. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.